Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Easter Monday, April 5th, Pope Francis prays the Regina Caeli and recalls that we find true peace of heart when we encounter the risen Christ. Cardinal Pietro Parolin describes his experience of working with the Pope as his closest collaborator. And devastating floods in Indonesia leave over 100 people dead and many others in need of rescue. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis led the prayer of the Regina Caeli today from the Library of the Apostolic Palace, which was broadcast live around the world. Reflecting on the angel's proclamation of Christ's resurrection, the Pope said that when we encounter the risen Jesus, we also discover true peace of heart. Francesco Merlo reports.
Only an angel could say that Jesus had risen, said the Pope, addressing the faithful gathered across the world for the recitation of the Regina Caeli. Just as only an angel had been able to say to Mary, you will conceive a son, and he will be called the Son of the Most High.
Evangelista Matteo narra che in quell'alba di Pasqua
The Pope noted that Matthew the Evangelist narrates that on Easter morning there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. The image of the angel sitting on the stone before the tomb is a concrete visible manifestation of God's victory over evil, of Christ's victory over the prince of this world, of light over darkness. Jesus' tomb was not opened by a physical phenomenon, but by the Lord's intervention, said the Pope.
E di fronte a questo intervento di Dio avviene una doppia reazione.
There is a twofold reaction in beholding this intervention on God's part, said Pope Francis. The first is that of the guards, who cannot face the overwhelming power of God and are shaken by an interior earthquake. They became like dead men. The power of the resurrection overthrows those who had been used to guarantee the apparent victory of death, which the Pope described as being very different because they are expressly invited by the angel of the Lord not to be afraid and not to seek Jesus in the tomb.
Dalle parole dell'angelo possiamo raccogliere un prezioso insegnamento.
Pope Francis then went on to note that we can reap a precious teaching from the angel's words. We should never tire of seeking the risen Christ who gives life in abundance to those who meet him, he said. He explained that to find Christ means to discover peace of heart. The same women of the gospel, after initially being shaken, experienced great joy in discovering the Master alive, he said. In this Easter season, my wish is that everyone might have the same spiritual experience, welcoming in our hearts, in our homes, and in our families the joyful proclamation of Easter. Christ, having risen from the dead, dies now no more. Death will no longer have dominion over him. Finally, Pope Francis concluded that it is a certainty that moves us to pray today and throughout the Easter season. The angel Gabriel had greeted Mary thus the first time. Rejoice, full of grace. Now Mary's joy is complete. Jesus lives. Love has conquered. May this be our joy as well, said the Pope. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin has granted an Easter interview to a Spanish radio network. In it, he discusses a range of topics from his relationship with Pope Francis to the divisions threatening the unity of the Church. As Thaddeus Jones reports, Cardinal Parolin also spoke about the Vatican's hopes for church unity in China.
Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin gave his interview to José Luis Restán, editorial director of the Spanish radio network COPE. He began noting that he sees his work as a service to communion and also the defense and promotion of the Church's freedom, as well as the task of world peace. Cardinal Parolin, who in his role has a wide understanding of the Church around the world, spoke about his vocation and how 40 years ago he was offered an opportunity to be of service to the Pope. He said he believes his fundamental vocation is that of a priest. He felt the call to priesthood, a minister of the Lord who serves souls, and recalled how there are different ways of exercising priestly ministry, and how ecclesiastical diplomacy is also one of them. Cardinal Parolin also expressed his concern over divisions within the Church, often simplified when speaking of a so-called conservative wing and a so-called progressive wing. He stressed how this situation only causes harm to the Church, remembering Christ prayed for its unity. Addressing the reality of the Church in China, Cardinal Parolin stressed how the Holy See views it with great respect, given its history of enormous suffering, but also with great hope. The steps taken so far are in the right direction towards a reconciliation within the Church, he explained, and there are efforts to protect this community, which is still small, but has great strength and vitality. Recalling the papal journey to Iraq and the encounter with a suffering church that continues to struggle, Cardinal Parolin pointed out the great lesson learned from the encounters with Iraqi faithful. What they taught us is the witness of faith that goes as far as martyrdom. They teach us about a capacity to be faithful, despite all difficulties, he noted, but at the same time they ask us for more solidarity. In conclusion, Cardinal Parolin noted how today especially we need prayers, and that all of us be united in prayer, so that the Lord may help us to be faithful to the mission of witnessing to the gospel, and also to our belonging to the church in today's world. I'm Therese Jones.
At least 113 people are dead, scores are missing, and thousands are displaced in Indonesia and East Timor after a tropical cyclone unleashed devastating floods. Landslides were triggered, which engulfed large parts of the vast archipelago of islands. As Linda Bordoni reports, it is feared that the death toll will rise, as many are still unaccounted for.
Rescuers have managed to evacuate some 2,000 people from a cluster of islands in Indonesia and East Timor, as deadly torrential downpours continue to threaten lives and cause widespread damage. The death toll from the flash floods and landslides triggered by Cyclone Seroya rises by the hour as rescuers search for bodies washed to sea and as emergency crews reach villages that have been cut off in the damage caused by the rains. Intense weather conditions with strong winds and high waves are making search and rescue operations hazardous and difficult, compounded by collapsed bridges and fallen trees that are blocking the roads. The floods early on Monday morning struck while many were sleeping. Some residents managed to haul themselves to their roofs to escape floodwater rising to 3 or 4 meters. The calamity has struck Indonesia's East Nusa Tenggara province, several islands in the west, and East Timor, which shares Timor Island with Indonesia. About 30,000 people have been impacted. The tropical cyclone behind the damage is expected to continue to strike the area for several days and further hinder rescue efforts. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In Sudan, at least 18 people have been killed and over 50 others injured in tribal clashes in the city of El Ganeya. The incident represents a renewal of bloodshed following a major flare-up of violence earlier this year. In January, at least 129 people were killed and military reinforcements were brought into El Ganeya, which is the capital of West Darfur State. However, local sources say they have since largely been withdrawn. The most recent clashes reportedly began between members of the Masalit and Arab tribes on Saturday and escalated on Sunday and Monday morning throughout the city. Protesters in Myanmar clapped together on Monday in the latest show of dissent against the military junta. The show of solidarity came as a regional bloc prepared for talks on the crisis. Despite the killing of at least 564 people by the security forces since the February 1st coup, protesters have been coming out every day, often in small groups in small towns. They are voicing opposition to the overthrow of an elected government led by Aung San Suu Kyi and the return of military rule. Some protesters are calling the movement a spring revolution and has included street marches, a civil disobedience campaign of strikes, and acts of rebellion organized via social media. In addition to the crackdown on the streets, the junta has sought to suppress the campaign by shutting down wireless broadband and mobile data services. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu appeared in court for his corruption trial today. His court date came at the same time that the Israeli president launched talks to help form a government. Nathan Morley has the details.
This case is being heard at Jerusalem District Court and has been repeatedly delayed by the pandemic. Now the witness testimony and evidence stage of the case is assessing whether Mr. Netanyahu is guilty of bribery, fraud and a breach of trust. The prosecution say he accepted luxury gifts from billionaire friends and traded favours with media moguls in exchange for positive coverage in the news. Bezeq, the Israeli telecom network, is accused of having run positive coverage in its news in return for changes in regulations which proved lucrative. For his part, Mr. Netanyahu has denied any wrongdoing and claims to be the victim of a politically motivated witch hunt. If convicted, though, he faces more than 10 years in prison. In a parallel development, the president, Reuven Rivlin, has started consultations with parliamentarians on how to form a government that could help save or end Mr. Netanyahu's career. This isn't an easy question, because no candidate has managed to get 61 of the Knesset's 120 members to recommend him as Prime Minister. Israel's March 23rd election was its fourth inconclusive vote in less than 2 years, prolonging the worst political crisis in the nation's history. Mr. Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party finished first, winning 30 seats in the 120-member parliament, but his ability to form a stable governing coalition is precarious, a reality that has plagued him for several years. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
India Today reported a record rise in COVID-19 infections, becoming the second country after the United States to post more than 100,000 new cases in a day. The news comes as politicians stage massive election rallies, which have raised fears of further spreading the virus. Hospitals in the worst affected state, Maharashtra, are being overrun by patients. India's daily infections have risen about 12-fold since hitting a multi-month low in early February, when authorities eased most restrictions. People then largely stopped wearing masks and following social distancing. With nearly 104,000 new infections, India now has reported 12.6 million cases. And finally, as the Easter octave continues, we welcome the words of bishops around the world for their paschal greetings. Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles also serves as the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. In his Easter message, the archbishop welcomes the improved COVID-19 situation in many parts of the U.S. and invites Catholics to look to Christ, who never leaves us.
All around us, we are seeing beautiful signs of hope. It is like a dark cloud has started to lift, and a new light is beginning to shine. Our churches are filling up again. Our young people are back in school. Thanks be to God. This has been a tough year. We have suffered and lost loved ones. But Jesus did not leave us. He never stops loving us. Never stops walking with us. His love is stronger than death. His love leads us always along the path to life. This is Easter. The Lord has risen indeed. On the cross, Jesus died for you. On that Sunday morning, 3 days later, he rose from the dead for you. This is how much he loves you, more than you can ever imagine. And we can only repay his love by our own love. So this Easter, open your hearts wide. Let his love fill you up and transform you. Let Jesus change your life. This Easter, we can make a new beginning together. Walking together in our parishes and schools, in our families and neighborhoods. Walking together with Jesus, we can bear any burden. Walking with Jesus, we are an Easter people. So let us begin again. Let us live for Jesus. And let us live like Jesus, without fear, without selfishness. Let us love one another as he loves us. Happy Easter to you and your families. Our Lord has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thanks there to Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles for his Easter message. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. There you can also find all of our broadcasts in podcast form. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.